Religion needs to fight back. It needs to grow teeth. It needs to remember what it is or what it was, what it was about. Because if you don't do that, then my answer is going to become no, it's not, get rid of it. Alrighty, doggy. So, this week's poll of the week then is: you are given an opportunity to go to the past and warn the world on January 1st, 2000 about one event that happened in the future. What do you choose? Right? So, you have corona, you have the corona pandemic, coronavirus, the pandemic, basically. Mm-hmm. You have 9/11. Mm-hmm. You have invasion of Ukraine. You have problem caused by social media. Mm-hmm. And then you have the 2007-2008 financial crisis. So you're given an opportunity to go back January 1st, 2000 to warn the world of one upcoming event in the future. Which one do you choose? Mm-hmm. Coronavirus, 9/11, invasion of Ukraine, the problem caused by social media, or the 2007-2008 financial crisis?
I think people chose coronavirus simply because, which is what I'm choosing as well, because I'm looking at the immediate death toll that it caused. So if I compare that with 9/11, a lot more people died from coronavirus around the world than people did from 9/11. It was in America, it was one event. Financial...
Coronavirus and 9/11 were one event in America?
No, as in... The 9/11 was an event in America.
Okay, I was going to say.
The two financial ones, again, the people suffered, obviously, financially, but it's not seen. It's not data that is just out there. And it was not...
It's not what?
It's not... sorry. It's not like... it's not death, basically. Yeah, people suffered financially, but, you know... I would imagine people might have died as a result from it as well, through depression, anxiety, and things like that. But again, if you compare the death toll, I think coronavirus wins. Ukraine war, again, it's one part of the country, you know, I mean, of the world, two nations at war. Now Israel is at whole war with Gaza and things like that. I think that is a major event. But again, you know, like, I think warning people about that, it's not really doing the world much good, so to speak. You know, is what I would think. So, yeah. So I think, I hope anyway, people chose the coronavirus because we had deaths pretty much in most countries around the world due to the virus. So, it was a pandemic by definition. So I think you would want to warn people about the pandemic, you know. So that's where I'm going. The social media one. Again, if you look at the impact of social media over a long space of time, there are a lot of negativities there. But again, technology advancement was always going to go up. And in fact, there are a lot of things that we've been able to do now, i.e. the podcast here, because of financial technology advancements and stuff, you know. So I think, again, all in all, there's been great good that has come out of it, you know. Again, if I look at the damage that's been caused in perspective to coronavirus, I would have to go with coronavirus because I'm aware people have committed suicide by viewing the wrong content and stuff like that out of choice, but no one chose coronavirus. No, why are you looking at me like that? She's not blinking.
You said what you said.
So you're going coronavirus?
I'm going coronavirus on both.
I feel like my answer, I'm gonna be featured as next week's, is my sister-in-law and asking.
Okay, what are you gonna say?
I would warn people about the problems of social media.
Okay.
I feel like all the other things are pretty inevitable. If it wasn't coronavirus, it would have been, you know, there's always diseases that are capable of going out.
Some
of
strange
hand.
Flu.
And with those kinds of diseases, there, you can warn people about it, but it doesn't mean it's not going to spread. The spread of it is out of our control.
Okay.
It starts somewhere and it's just going to keep spreading and spreading and spreading. The wars, I think if it's not Ukraine, it's going to be a different country. So you can warn against one country, but then there might be a worse war, that kind of thing. What are the other options? Financial crisis. A financial crisis happens every couple of years. So even if you warn about financial crisis, it's just, you're either just going to delay it or it's still coming. So yeah, my vote would be problems of social media.
Why that one?
Because I think a lot of problems, there's a lot of, and obviously usually we talk about surface levels of social media, but there's a lot of big, deep problems of social media, and that encompasses a lot of things, even all the conversations we have on like gender and sexuality and politics and stuff like that. A lot of the problematic conversations we have around that have stemmed from social media, what's being shared, all the propaganda, this, that and the other. So I'd say social media, especially for the use of young people. I know that it wasn't that specific, but yeah, I'd want about social media.
Can I defend coronavirus based on something she said?
Go ahead, but who are you defending it for?
No, just for the poll. Okay, go on. No, I just wanted to add that warning people of the coronavirus, I think, would have saved thousands and thousands of lives. Because what we found, or the world found itself in, especially if I speak for Britain, for example, although it was quite at the forefront of being the first and everything, it's like they had to construct a temp hospital out of nowhere. You know, we had shortage of nurses, you know, we had shortage of carers, you know, there was no space. People go to the hospital and they're not coming back, they're dying, because we just we're not ready to make sure that there's no the spreading of the disease. You see what I mean? Can you imagine people are dying or catching coronavirus because there's no masks, because there's no gloves or aprons in hospitals, you know? The world was just so unprepared. So if we had known about it beforehand, you know, a year before, would have made sure we have ample masks, you know, or PPEs is there. You know, the hospital that they built would have been done a year before. You know, they would have started recruiting carers and nurses. What's the point
of warning something if you're not going to just stop it?
Well, I mean, that's assuming we believe that it came from China and they did it purposely or whatever. So we're assuming, I don't know.
But then wouldn't the idea of warning somebody so that thing doesn't happen? Because if I warn you about coronavirus and it still hits you but this time you just have enough masks.
Well, it's not being prepared, isn't it?
I agree with that point.
But that's fine, because you're not, the poll has been taken. So you're not trying to change the results of the poll. Fair enough. So Pro Nick, you're saying you would have chose coronavirus and you think the poll has chosen coronavirus.
Yes.
You're saying you would have chose social media. Are you saying the poll has also chosen social media, or do you think the poll has chosen?
I am the poll. I think the poll might have chosen social media.
Okay, fine. So we have coronavirus and we have social media. Okay, fair enough. I found it an interesting poll, I guess, just to see where people's heads at. But I can reveal that the one with the most answer, and I guess it's a bit biased because it's American based, is 9/11 with the most votes. In second place was coronavirus.
Okay, not bad.
In third place was the financial crisis of 2007-2008.
Mm-hmm.
In fourth place was problem caused by social media.
In last place
was the invasion of Ukraine.
That just shows you about how many people care.
It's just about the...
So last week we started a poll.
But at the same time, you've also got to think that everybody's going to vote on what they probably feel like impacted them
the most.
So for example if
during the financial crisis you'd made some large investments and all those went to pot, you probably want somebody to warn you about the crisis.
Because we were quite young when that happened, so we didn't really understand what was happening. But it didn't just affect people who were... It affected their everyday job. I think the people who were our age at that time really felt it. We didn't, because, you know, we were young and our parents were immigrants, so part of the working class.
In the next one.
I was about to say, I am feeling it now, although mine has started.
Okie dokie then, ladies and gents. I hope everybody's brains are warm, fired up, and ready to delve
into... This one is zipping herself up. I don't think she's warm yet.
And ready to dive into this week's big question. Okay, so this week we're asking... Is religion still relevant in the modern world, or in the modern society, or more specifically in 2023. Now, this comes off the back of, I don't know if you guys know, but the last census that was conducted in England mm-hmm. actually found that for the first time ever, less than 50% of the British people identify mm-hmm. as Christians. Okay. So now officially Britain can no longer call itself a Christian country because the majority do not identify as such.
Hey, I don't remember voting in this census.
And the biggest growing group, I guess, not the largest, but the biggest growing group, of course, is the no religion or...
atheist.
Not necessarily atheist, but...
don't belong to
anything. There is an option of just saying no religion or no affiliation or whatnot. And that group has seen a large growth since 2011, right? So, which got me thinking, but that's very interesting to see that for the first time ever, Britain can now be identified as a non-Christian country, I guess a secular country. And I guess the question is, fair enough, is religion still relevant in modern society or in the modern world? Now, I know I did say it's a big question. I know it's a big question. So I want to see if I can break it down a bit. But first and foremost, I want to get your initial thoughts on the question. Is religion still relevant in 2023?
I guess when I heard the question, the first question in my head was relevant to who? Because for me, religion is a very subjective thing. So just because it's not relevant to you, it doesn't mean it's not relevant to me. And just because it's relevant to you, it doesn't mean it's relevant to me.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was the first question in my head. Relevant to who? And if we identify the who, why is that important?
What?
So if we've identified, is religion relevant? My question to mm-hmm. who?
To society.
So we've identified to society. Mm-hmm. But then if the answer is yes or no, where does that then go? So if the answer is no, religion is not relevant. Let's say I'm a believer.
Mm-hmm.
What's that supposed to do for me? And let's say the answer is yes, and I'm not a believer. What's that supposed to do for that person?
I don't really understand the question. You're asking what's the consequence of answering the question?
Like,
the consequence is just discussion, feeding thought. Feeding
yeah, fuel. I know that.
I don't think there's any material consequence in the actual physical world.
Yes, half the conversations we discussed, there is no actual material.
Yeah, no. Which is why I'm wondering. Which is why I'm saying no, that. I don't think I understand the question.
You asked me about my thinking points, so that's what I was thinking. I guess for me, at the end of it, my thought process was, what's the point? Even if we answer the question or not, what's the point?
Okay. So you're saying forget this week's big
question. I'm not saying
that's what I'm hearing.
I'm not saying forget this week's big question.
Okay. No.
You two are so funny.
I'm trying to understand the question because I understand you're formulating a question based on the big question, but I'm trying to understand what that question is.
Yeah, the question
that you're formulating.
I'm just talking you through my thought process. Like, after I'd discussed either side in my own head, I still got to, but what's the point?
What's the point of what? Of religion being relevant?
Yeah, and who's it relevant for? Who's it relevant to? And if it's relevant to me, but it's not relevant to you, then what? As a society, then what? Like, what are we trying to achieve? If we find that religion is no longer relevant, are we saying let's get rid of it?
Well, if we find that it's no longer relevant, then yeah, that would be a good move. Because why are we keeping something that's not relevant?
And if we find it is relevant, is it being forced upon everybody?
Well, yeah, if we find that it's relevant, then let's implement more of it. Because if it's relevant, why are we ignoring it?
Okay.
So, yeah. I guess.
I don't know why you're looking at me like I'm stupid.
No. I'm actually genuinely trying to catch your thought. That's what's happening.
Don't.
As for me... I gave this a lot of thought, and I can understand what you're saying, Fasani, because it's trying to anyway, I can understand what you're saying, but I gave it a lot of thought, right? And my answer is, like what you said, there's so many levels to it, but at first value, I concluded that my answer is yes, right? My answer is yes, religion is still relevant, but I think it needs to fight back. Okay. Religion needs to fight back. It needs to grow teeth. It needs to remember what it is or what it was, what it was about. Because if you don't do that, then my answer is going to become, no, it's not. Get rid of it. And what I mean by that is, I'll give you a quick example. We all know what is happening in the Christendom, for example, right? Now, Christians, by historically, these are stemming from Christ's followers. You know, these were the believers of Christ, right? Obviously, it evolved. So many denominations came from that. But one thing they all have in common is the fact that they all believe in the God of heaven, and they all believe that the Bible is the holy words of God. What it had in common, right? What it had in common, okay? But for the sake of my point, I'll say what they should have in common or what they have in common, right? But then how is it then that we're finding ourselves where churches are accepting, let's say, same-sex marriages? You know, because if you look at the religion itself and what they believe, what they claim, that is not the case, you see? And then obviously what you're getting, which I'll come into later on as we discuss, is obviously now it's like we are putting ourselves above the religion and dictating what it should be based on what we feel now, which is a problem. So that's why I'm saying that it needs religion. In my opinion, religion is important. It is it's important for the society. And what it used to be about different understandings, let's say, of God, of life, debating that. Yeah. So, but if you check in most religions, the moral values of the society were more or less the same. You know, we upheld a lot of certain things in common. So it was really, really good for society. Whether you're a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Christian, there were certain common moral values that enabled the society as a whole to flourish in behavior-wise, right? And to be fair with you, I think that should still be the case? Yes. You know, if they enforce that, yes, I think that's the case. We can argue about which religion is better and things like that, or when we talk about eternal life and things like that, you know, life after death, we can debate all that, you know. But as core beliefs, core values, it was really good for the society, and I think it is definitely relevant today. In fact, I would say we need it more than ever. But if it is not standing up for its beliefs, then it's useless, it's diluted. Then what purpose is it serving? Does that make sense? So yeah, so those are my initial thoughts. My initial thoughts on the topic. I strongly believe it's still relevant, as long as they remain what they're supposed to be.
Okay, all right. Interesting. And like I said, there's a lot that
too much
we can pick from that. So instead, what I want to do is I want to go through the 5 top reasons why young people are leaving the church, or are leaving religion, or are seeking somewhere else, and I want to see what you guys make of these reasons. And of course, that's an angle in which we can review the question: is religion still relevant? Look at the people leaving the church or leaving religion, see what they say, and then see whether what they say makes sense, or if they make or if they make compelling arguments, right? So the first reason is that the church seems overprotective, right? Now, what this means is that a lot of young Christians or Christians feel like the Christian experience is stifling, it's fear-based, and is risk-averse. One quarter of 18, 29-year-olds said Christians demonize everything outside of the church, ignoring the real problems of the world, and that 22% said my church is too concerned that movies, music, and video games are harmful. So that's the first reason. What do we make of that?
Again, if you look at the society we're living lawlessly, without boundaries, and that's being encouraged. I feel like anything that imposes some level of boundaries is automatically seen as bad now, because everybody needs to have that freedom to be who they want to be, do what they want to do without consequence. So I feel like it's correct. Even kids don't want to go to school because there's rules at school. That's one of the number one reason kids no longer want to be in school, because there's rules, there's boundaries. You can't just do what you want at whatever time that you want. So yes, the same way schools are being boycotted, it's the same way that anything at the minute with boundaries is going to be boycotted.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. And okay, here's the thing. The problem is that anybody who is saying that, let them go. Yeah, and this, I think for me, this is part of keeping religion pure, keeping, you know, the faith pure. It's very simple. It's like, if you are on this camp, this is what we observe. This is what we believe. This is what we do. This is right and this is wrong. You know, so this is the way that you're expected to live. I think the school thing is a very good example. You know, certain schools allow uniform. Other schools say, no, you don't have to wear a uniform. Certain schools will let you off maybe with untucked shirts. Certain schools are very, very strict on tucking in your shirt. Certain schools are very lax about coming to lateness and stuff like that. Other schools are very strict. So if you are attending a certain institute, right, you know what is expected of you. Okay, and I agree with Asani a lot about the lawlessness thing, because that's the problem. The problem is that it stems from families, you know. Children are not being brought up with the proper discipline, right? So how on earth are we expecting them to if, for lack of better words, submit to God in this context, you know? Because essentially, the teaching, again, we will argue about the doctrines, but speaking as a whole, essentially we're saying that this is what God is expecting from you. Yeah, this is how you should believe in your life as a believer. So as a young person growing up, you know that, okay, if I'm a Christian, this is what is expected of me to live. So it's not about it being stifling, whatever. What do you mean it's too stifling? What do you mean is they are too strict? What do you mean they demonize everything? Those things are wrong according to that faith. So it's not about, oh, you're being too much. No.
But so if a church teaches that, let's say, watching TV is wrong, for example, can that not be an example of something that's overprotective, overbearing, and stifling?
I think...
A teaching that someone can view as, that's a bit much, this church is not for me, and thereby turn their eyes away, and someone could argue that's not something to lose someone over.
The thing is that, yes, okay, like,
but
I
then
say,
I suppose when you start, sorry, Pranit, when you start with things like, oh, that's not something to lose somebody over, you're already compromising whatever your religion is about. Because now when you start loosening the rules to keep people, what are you going to end up with? Because everybody now has their own thing that you've allowed. Before you know it, your church is not going to look like what you believe.
But then the alternative is... you do that, and then before you know it, there's just going to be 2 90-year-olds in the church. And then once they die, that's it. The faith is dead.
That's I would say if you're in a position like that, that's absolutely fine. Because at the end of the day, I'm sure most religions are also about life and death. There's a consequence for a bad life lived and a reward for a good life lived. For most religions, if you're in a religion that doesn't operate... in that capacity. So really, stand firm to what you believe. And I think that's the other problem with religion at the minute, is it's become too wishy-washy. So religion is trying to fit into society. And I guess that's where Pronik's point is coming from, that no, you can't do that. If your religion believes in something, believe in that wholeheartedly and run with it.
But isn't it about reevaluating certain stances in the context of the society you're in? Because if you've got a religion that just literally says this is what we believe, full stop, then the question is easy to answer. That religion will eventually become irrelevant.
But then you still put those things in the context of what you believe. So if it's about TV, fine. Let's say a religion that was started 1,000 years ago, there was no TV, but I'm sure there would be in teachings about what you consume. Mm-hmm. So really and truly, the conversation should be, what are you consuming on that TV? And is that good for you? So if the teaching is don't watch TV full stop, then maybe, yes, I would question that and say, hold on, is it about the television as it is, or is it what I'm consuming from that? Because yes, technology is going to advance. And I guess that's what you're asking, that yes, things are going to have to be reevaluated by way of technology growing. For example, during COVID, a lot of churches had to do services online. That was unheard of before. Church was you meet inside a building, mm-hmm. and you have service and then you all go home. But circumstances fell that needed to be reevaluated. Obviously, there were some people that would not join Zoom meetings to have church, because for them, that's not church. Mm-hmm. If we can't meet, let's not do anything at all, because God would not allow us to Zoom. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. But then I think you've given a good example of what someone can view as an outdated or an irrelevant religious practice. So for example, let's say, I mean, it's an interesting position to take, but let's say someone did take the position to say, you know what, church, you can't do church over Zoom. I don't know. Let's say they have something against the internet. The internet is the devil, mark of the beast.
Whatever. But then
so for them, they can't do church over Zoom. Church has to be in person. Now, someone could look at it and be like, that's a bit outdated. That's a bit irrelevant. That's a bit dinosaur.
Coming back to what you were asking, and then I'll come to
that's
that.
That's a bit dinosaur.
Imagine. I think for me, my stance at the moment, the way I'm approaching this is in general, basically, mm-hmm. right? Got there in the end. So I'm not exactly discussing specific, let's say, things. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just in general as a religion. Now, these are fair points that you've raised, but then for me, that's now diving into the religion themselves, and then we'll have to look at, like what Fasan was saying, what exactly is the teaching that is leading preachers and pastors and whatever to preach to people and say that don't watch TV, you know? So that's the conversation that would have to be having. That for me, that's a matter of discussing the doctrine, mm. right? And in my opinion, I would agree that actually, unfortunately, we have pastors out there that are preaching the wrong things, because in my opinion, it's not about the TV, but definitely it's about what you consume. You know, definitely there are certain things I should not be watching that are not good for your soul, for your conscience. You're better off spending that time doing something else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, like the horror movies that I like watching so much, that kind of thing, you know? So we can do that. We can go and do these things like the one you've just mentioned here about the dinosaur one she just mentioned. Yeah, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can look at that and, you know, that would be fair enough. You know, we can judge that case by case. But what I was trying to say is that in general, yeah, mm-hmm. the core beliefs or the moral teachings that often come from these religion institutes mm. are good for the society. And I'm saying that on purpose because obviously, you know, I'm a believer. I would never speak for Buddhists. But even them, their core beliefs are good for the society. Because when a society is built on religions like that, you get a lot less prostitutions, you get a lot less drugs, you get a lot less alcohol, you know, and social behavior, because everyone is upholding certain values that they are taught from birth, mm-hmm. you know? So for me, that's the angle I'm coming from, that's good for the society. These things we are talking about, often it's not the TV, I mean, I know that is the case, yeah, but often it's not the TV thing. Definitely maybe music and movies, but we all know about music and view. My perception of music videos right now is soft porn during daytime, you know? Apparently I'm being generous, you know? So if there's going to be a pastor out there or a region out there saying that, you know what, you should not be watching these music videos, they're not good for you, that is the truth, you see? But then obviously you have youngsters saying that, oh no, it's too much. Why? Because they want to indulge in soft porn. They enjoy those things. Mm. They want to dive into that kind of lust, you see? Hence why they're coming out of the other end saying that, oh no, it's too much. So that's what I'm saying, no, it's not too much. That's what is expected of you, you know? But obviously everything is built on understanding, you know? So like I said, a discussion of doctrine, we can have that. But as a whole, I think religions need to stick to their core values. It's good for the society. It's really good for the society.
Okay, all right. Well, the second reason, then let's go into the second reason. It says the second reason of teens and 20-somethings leaving the church is that their experience of Christianity is shallow, or they find it to be shallow. That is that young people depart the church as young adults is some. A second reason that young people depart the church as young adults is that something is lacking in their experience of church. Mm. One third said church is boring. One quarter of these adults said that faith is not relevant to my career or interests, or that the Bible is not taught clearly or often enough. Sadly, one fifth of these young adults who attended a church as a teenager said that God seems to be missing from my experience of church.
I agree with. Oops. I think I agree with that. 100%. And I think that's, if I was to pinpoint one thing that's going to break down religion completely, is humanity. In the sense that when it comes to a lot of religions, a lot of denominations, they've become human owned and they're no longer God owned or God led.
Mm.
So people have taken churches and denominations into their hands to say, this is my church, this is my denomination, and you will listen to the sermon I want you to listen to, you will ask the questions I want you to ask, and I will answer the questions that I want to answer. It's no longer about searching scriptures or other religions, searching, I don't know, the Quran or whatever. It's about whatever that person wants to feed you that day. So we've become followers of man and not necessarily followers of Christ. And that's the other issue, because especially when you're growing up and learning about God or just a religion in general, that's the time that you're curious. That's the time that you have a lot of questions. But I find that a lot of churches and denominations, again, like Pronik, I can only speak for the experiences that I've had, are very reluctant to curiosity. They're closed off to curiosity. And it's not necessarily, and I think they see all curiosity as defiance. But actually, if I'm reading the Word of God and there's two verses that to me are just saying two completely different things, and I want to understand more, if I ask that, how all of a sudden am I causing a problem? I genuinely want to know. But it's always a case of either you're given the cold shoulder and there's no answer, or you're not allowed to ask that question at that particular time because, I don't know, Sabbath school has finished. There's no longer time for questions. The Sabbath day is finished. That's it. Go home. And now I'm left without clarity. And so, unfortunately, sometimes with religion, you do need clarity. What is this religion actually saying to me? And do I resonate with it? But I don't think that there is the chance for that for young people. I think a lot of older people that have taken up church positions have really clung to those positions. And they don't want to let go of them, even though society is moving, if that makes sense.
No, I agree 100% with that. And I think in addition to that, I think the problem is that, I agree with the statement.
The problem is I agree with the statement.
Yeah, I know.
So remember, I kept saying that if we're going to we can't discuss about doctrine and understandings and things like that. So initially I started by saying that, you know, it is good for the society. But now with that statement, now we're now looking at the religions themselves now. Yeah, we're looking at the truth or the teachings and things like that, you know. And unfortunately, that is what is letting down religions. Right. That is what's letting, you know, people in essence, people are feeling being let down by these religions, you know, by these churches and things like that, you know, in the sense that there's no truth at these churches, so to speak. Yeah. You know, there's no, it's like you're attending these churches and yet there's something missing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Which is what they're saying. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, well, what am I doing? So, okay. So the values I'm talking about, for example, these are meant to be secondary. Right. If it's done properly, religions should be built. I'm going to speak specifically for Christianity, for example. A message is preached to you. The gospel is preached to you. You believe. Yeah. Now, when you've believed, you are living a life now, Christ-like life, I'm going to say. Right. Which then comes with these beliefs and core values and things like that. You know, but if you preach those before Christ-like, what you have is a lot of people go in there and then are just being told on do's and don'ts. Yeah. Or don't do that. Do this, don't do that. You know, but without really real understanding of what this Christianity is about. Who is this God? What is this Jesus? You know, you're just being told, pay your tithe, you know, come here. We sing songs for one moment. Maybe you're feeling emotional. You go out. That's the end of it. And things like that. Don't dress like that. Dress like this. I mean, now it's no longer, you don't have to dress like, well, come as you are. So now you have another member in the church worried about a youngster who is half naked and now they can't pray properly. So many issues. So yeah, I agree with that. Unfortunately, that statement is now where we turn and face the religions that they are failing. Yeah, unfortunately, they are failing because, again, I think she alluded to that, the leadership or the doctrines, the teachings there have been diluted or they are missing. You have people who wake up today, I'm a prophet of God, and they start a church just to make money.
I mean, we don't know if that's how they come to the decision. but you're saying that the churches are failing, the leadership are failing.
Mm.
Isn't that argument enough to say, well, then maybe religion is irrelevant? I want to go back to something you said something earlier, and Fatsani, one of you, and it prompted a question, because if you can go to a church and be confused, or let's say I'm curious, let's say I'm a curious young person, and you know, you get to an age 15, 16 where you just get curious about lots of different things. Let's say I get curious about faith and I look into it, but then there's 1001 churches all saying slightly different things, and I don't really know who's right, who's wrong, or whatnot. Isn't that a good argument to say, you know what, clearly this thing doesn't work. Clearly this thing is, maybe it was relevant once, now it's irrelevant because it's just a big ball of mess.
And I think that's part and parcel of the problem, because unfortunately even Christians can't agree on what's Christian and what's not Christian. So if you are somebody that's trying to find your way, it is difficult. I can imagine it being very, very difficult. Even if you were born into the church, it's still very, very difficult to navigate, let alone if you weren't born into it and you're trying to find out what works for you. And to be honest, I don't really know what advice I would give to somebody like that. I suppose it would be what resonates as truth to you, given the pool. Given the vast pool of choices, because the choices are there.
I don't know what advice
I'd give to somebody in that position, because the simplest advice would say, come to my corner. But obviously already that's biased advice, because it's my corner. I want you to come join my corner. But if somebody is really and truly searching for what truth is, in a pool of, I don't know, 150 Christian denominations, what advice would you give them in their final choice? They've explored all 150. How would you ask them to make the final decision?
Don't pick any of them. They're all wrong and they're all slightly right. Don't pick any of them. That would be my advice. My advice wouldn't be
pick this. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My advice with no. They're all, I'm sure, I don't know all of them, but I'm sure they'll have element of truth, but they're all wrong in some way. So well done that you're curious. It's good. Here's the word. That's what you need to read. So that's what I would say.
But okay, you've simplified it, fine.
No. I've simplified it in that I think I'll direct their focus to the root of all those 150 churches. Because there's a common denominator.
You can do that by all means, but...
So if you're studying your Bible and a pastor from the Lutheran church is discussing a passage, listen and read your Bible. Is what he's saying, I agree with the Bible? Okay. If you're studying another passage and a Baptist pastor is discussing the Bible, listen, is it saying what the Bible is saying? Is it? So my point is, I wouldn't say, okay, no, the Baptists have it right, or the SDAs have it right, or the Pentecostals have it right. It would be, this is the word, this is the Bible, this is what all those churches claim to believe. That's what you should focus on.
I wanted to come back to something, to the questions that you were asked, just to jump in, that you asked. one of them you're saying that isn't that evidence of it becoming irrelevant then, right? So I wanted to say no to that because we're speaking in context of religion, right? But that term, basically, we can substitute it in this discussion for faith in God, so to speak, right? So the question then I would ask then, if you allow that, is, or is God irrelevant today, or is God irrelevant in the modern times? You know, and the answer is always going to be no. So the religions and their leaders and stuff like that are failing, but does that mean that therefore God becomes irrelevant? The answer is no. You see, so that then comes to what you were just saying here. You know, again, for me, I like going back to this, but how it should be, if everyone is bringing up their children in their, let's say, chosen faiths, naturally, the development of a human being, a child into a young child, into an older child, a young adult, fully grown adult, at some point, you're going to question things. You're going to challenge things, you know, you're going to, you know, at school, we are being taught evolution and things like that, the Big Bang, you know, eventually you're going to be faced with a situation where you have to look at your faith and what you have been brought up believing the world came to be. And then you look at evolution and so on and so forth. And then, you know, as a person, you then make up your mind, you know, you then decide what you're saying. It sounds a bit wishy-washy. You then decide what resonates with you, you know, what you believe is the truth. You know, now, worldly, I would say it like that. Spiritually, I would say that that's where now that's the power of the spirit now, you know, that's where that all comes in. So if we dive into the Bible, that's your calling now, and so on and so forth, you know. But if we are going to speak in normal language, everyone is going to decide. But the problem is families are no longer bringing their children up in their faiths or in faith at all. So now you have young adults, 18 to 21 or whatever, who haven't been to church, who don't know church. And so now it's like, well, where do they start then? Because definitely then you're in a situation where you're being taught 150 things, but you don't know. You know, you have no root, you have no base, you have no capability to logically think. You see what I mean? Because your parents messed you about. You see? However, if you are that person, then unfortunately the answer is what she said. You know, what resonates with you? You know, what is truth to you in that moment? You know, let the spirit work. That's what would have to be the answer. Definitely, I agree with you as well. I would not say go to the Pentecostal and say, no, I would say this is the word of God. You know, Godspeed, go study it. You know, and yeah, everything else will work.
Okay, all right.
So then you give somebody the Bible, that's it. Go study it and learn what you need to learn.
Again, we're being wishy-washy about it.
Yeah, I know, but now they've got questions and they need to ask somebody. Again, they're back to the choices, are they not?
No, they'll ask the person that gave them the Bible.
No, obviously it would depend on the situation of the person, but depending on who they have access to, I would say ask whoever you have access to. Because if you have questions, then you go where the supposedly answers. But I guess what both you and Fatani have said is that if something resonates with you, then you gravitate towards it. I think
there's a higher power at work.
My point was, whatever it is you're choosing to believe or looking to believe, make sure it's based on this book, or make sure it stems from or is in agreement with this book. So if let's say we've got that installed, we understand each other on that, and then they ask a pastor, what does this verse mean? And the pastor says, this verse means A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And they're like, but doesn't Romans say A, B, C, D, E, F, G? Doesn't Ephesians say A, B, C, D? So you've got that critical thinking, that critical analysis coming to say that not just take everything at face value. Like question everything and weigh it up against the word and see how it stands.
I think, again, going back to the second point as to why people are leaving the church, I think, unfortunately, we're now in a very inquisitive society. Even the young people that we're raising now are very inquisitive and questioning people. Whereas church before was a sit and listen kind of environment. But we're not raising sit and listen kind of people. We're raising inquisitive people.
Are you saying that's a bad thing?
That we're raising inquisitive people? No, it's a good thing. But the issue is that religion has remained stagnant in that it's a sit and listen environment.
Okay,
it's
fine.
Come with your questions and ask questions environment. So right, okay. I feel like we've got the wrong religious structure for the society that we now have.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because our parents back then were happy to go sit and listen. Whereas us lot, and I suppose even people younger than us, when somebody says something, we want to question it. Yeah. We want to rip it apart. That's why, probably why we do things like podcasting, because we want to put our two cents in there. Have you thought about it like this? But then this verse says this. But this verse says this. What's going on there?
Yeah.
Like, let's explore that. Whereas that there, I just feel like there isn't room in religion for that, which then I guess would make it not relevant for the society that is here present, which is an inquisitive society.
Mm. Which is why people are going, they're coming back feeling empty. People are not experiencing God in their life because they are not able to know what does it feel like to experience God. You know, there's no knowledge, unfortunately. We want zeal from people without the knowledge, which obviously we know it never works. You see? So yeah, no, that's a brilliant. Oh, well done. I would have given you more points, but yeah, no, he's going to give you a lot of points. I'm going to lose. I don't want to send you ahead. But yeah, I 100% agree with that. If anything, if you're going to change anything, realize that this is how it's always been biblically. Yeah, it's never sit and listen. It's always been imparting knowledge on people. You know, this is what it's meant to be. So if anything, religions need to realize that it's no longer just tell people what to do. People need to understand what they believe in and why they believe in that. And you need to create a forum where they can ask that.
Mm-hmm.
Why, you know, if you're a Catholic, why do we have mass? You know, what is this? You know, you see what I mean? Who is this Virgin Mary? You know, why do we pray to Virgin Mary? Why do we have these crosses? You know, that kind of thing. You know, people need to be able to ask so that the faith and belief that they have is rooted, you know?
Yeah.
And that can only come from answering. If you don't answer people, they'll be like, okay, fine. Deuces.
Okay, fair enough. All very good points, I must say. The third reason why a lot of young people are leaving the church is that they feel the church is at odds with science.
Okay.
Well, it
is there more
be.
Information to that?
There can be, if you want me to give you more information.
Yeah,
you
just want to. Oh, she can answer. She was. I just want to know.
Oh, okay. Let me give a bit more. And then you can come in. Okay, so it says that one of the reasons young adults feel disconnected from the church is the tension they feel between Christianity and science. The most common of perceptions in this arena is that Christians are too confident they know all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
3 out of 10 young adults with a Christian background feel that churches are out of step with the scientific world that we live in. And then it carries on, but it's more or less the same thing. So they feel like Christianity is either anti-science, out of step with science, or some of them are even saying that they feel at odds with their Christian beliefs and their science-related industries or careers or things that they go in. And it's like, I guess, tough to reconcile between the two. So I guess if I was to frame it as a question, it would be a three-part question. A, is Christianity... anti-science? B, if it is that an issue? C, actually, I don't know if there is a C.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's the reason that they're given, that I guess it goes back to just feeling like it's outdated, in that we live in a scientific world, scientific advancements, you know, you mentioned technology and everything. But then if you feel like your belief system or your church is out of step with that, or not even acknowledging that, then you feel like, well,
you know, it's funny because something is always only ever out of step when it starts impacting things that we want to do.
Mm.
And that's usually the case with us young people and religion. So as soon as we decide we want to do something, but all of a sudden it doesn't align with Christianity, it's always Christianity or religion is at fault. My religion is not letting me do this. But actually, that is the religion. If the religion is against some scientific teachings, it's against some scientific teachings. It doesn't mean it's a personal attack to you to say we don't want you to be successful, but we are commanded to be in the world but not of the world. So those clashes are a whole reason why that a verse like that exists. Because as far as we know, this world that we're on, from a Christian perspective, is not our final home. We're here enduring time, but really and truly, there is a final destination. And as part of that final destination, it is things like that where our religion and our beliefs are going to clash with the way the world is developing, the way that the world is growing. It's simple as.
Okay.
So I think, again, we're in that society where I don't know whether it's too much choice or too much freedom, where if something doesn't align with you, automatically it's against you and it's fighting you.
Oh yeah.
And the problem is that thing. The problem is not, hold on, but my religion has always taught that from day one. And is it wrong in teaching that just because it doesn't align with what I want to do, is it wrong in teaching that? No, not necessarily. If you choose to go with the teaching, you choose to go with the teaching. If you don't, you don't.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think that's a valid reason to not want to be part of religion, to be fair with you. Yes, I think Christianity is anti-science. It's a bit tiresome for me sometimes when I'm...
I think Christianity is very scientific.
It depends. Hear what I'm about to say, and then you let me know if you still feel the same way, right? Religion, sometimes when we're discussing, when people get together and they want to debate Christianity versus, for example, science and things like that, what people don't realize is that the biggest difference is that faith or belief, you know, is exactly that. It's based on faith. Yeah, I don't have to prove it to you, you know. In fact, I can't take evidence so that here is evidence of my faith or here is evidence of my belief, you know. It's exactly that, you know, believing in something unseen and so on and so forth, like what that verse says in the Bible somewhere, you know, between the first page and the last page. You see, whereas science is all about proof, data, results. Yeah, if it's not there, it doesn't exist. You know, everything that science has brought forth, it's something that they've discovered, you know. So even gravity, space, everything, they've got calculations for it. They have, you know, reasons for it. They have explanations for it, you know. That's what science is. So basically, religion, faith, no sight. Science is sight. You know, everything has to be proved.
But then I'll challenge that in saying that one of the biggest arguments between religion and science is actually unproven both sides.
Fair enough. But science is all about proving. So what do you mean unproven?
Yeah, so for example, the Big Bang, who was there to see it?
Again, they have reasons why they explain that. Nobody was there to see it, but they've got calculations, data, things they can explain to you about our world today that to them proves that the Big Bang happened.
That's the biggest difference
because whereas for me, I'm going to tell you that I've got nothing. But the word says that in the beginning, God created.
But which is why I think that whole argument, both sides argue on the same point, because even with the Big Bang theory, somebody came up with that theory and somebody's saying it happened. Has anybody seen a monkey turn into a human? No. Why has it not happened in so long?
Again, if you are arguing against that, fair enough. But this fact remains that they can show us in the DNA. In fact, they can show us, according to the DNA, I think the monkeys are actually the closest species to humans, I think, yeah, you know, yeah, even in their behaviors and things
day,
like that.
Every day there's a new one that's closer.
You see, so whether you believe it or not is a different matter. But the fact is that science just doesn't tell you that. It shows you why it's saying that. It shows you, it can calculate, even if we talk about... gravity, for example, something unseen. They still have, that's why they have theory or whatever, right? It's because there's an explanation to it.
Okay, fine. You know? Get back to your main point.
Getting back to my main point. So I think that Christianity and science, I think Christianity is anti-science or whatever. I think like there are two opposing forces or two forces that should be kept separate or can be kept separate. However, it goes back to what I was just saying in the previous point, right? Your religion should explain to you what these things are. You know, your religion should explain to you how the world came about, how humans came about, how the creation came about, all this stuff and so on and so forth. Yeah. So it's a simple matter of you understanding that, okay, this is what we are sharing this planet with other people. You know, that's why we are talking about so many denominations, so many understandings. You know, it sounds like almost people want there to be a one religion otherwise, well, I might as well leave it. No. So that's what you've been brought up believing, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what science is saying. Evaluate the two.
But even the science has its own denomination.
No, too. But then in evaluating the two, that's what they're saying. That's what's leading people out of church.
Fair enough. Then in my opinion, that's a fair enough conclusion. If you've evaluated a religion and decided that, you know what, this religion was false, I would rather believe in science, fair dues. I've got no comments to that. Fair dues. But those that are true believers or those that understand properly, they will not get to that conclusion. You know, in fact, in that situation, I might join first and say that there are certain aspects of science that actually prove the existence of God. That will actually expand, you know, with the right mentality, you can see. Someone once said that science just discovers. Religion tells us God created. So religion is not about discovering, where science is about discovering. Uh-huh. Everything that is out there, science discovered. Oh, we've discovered this. Oh, discovered this. So the question is, well, if you are discovering all these things, who put them there? You see? So religion says that, well, God created everything. Science is in that, no, we don't think so. We think it all happened by chance, starting with this. Essentially, those are the two arguments you've got to what? Uh-huh. Contend with. Uh-huh. And to be fair with you, I always think to myself, a mobile phone, it's a very complex thing. I can go on internet, YouTube, do a lot of stuff. Imagine someone is telling me that, oh, this just happened by chance over time. It connected with our mobile phones. It made it possible so we can speak to people. I'll think you're straight up crazy. And to me, to be told that everything happened by accident, you know, even to the way that we think, complex. No. For me, there's a God out there. I may not tell you a lot about him, whatever, but there's no way you can tell me that a human being in their complicity happened by chance over a million years. No. That is nonsense. That's like telling me that a Tesla.
But the same way that somebody on the different side can say you're trying to tell me that an unknown being out there somewhere put all this together and placed
prompt. Just like Elon Musk sat down and created a self-moving car. Yes. I'd rather believe in higher intelligence than believe in coincidence, by chance, by a stroke of luck. You leave a meat in the outside without cooking it. Over time, it will grow worms. So you come and tell me that, no, you see this dish, the meal we had last time when I came here, with all the spices there, it happened by chance over time. The onion chopped itself, jumped in. Come on, people. Anyway, that's not a discussion today. So for me, if someone concludes to that, that's fair enough. But again, if you've been brought up right with your religion, you know, you should be able to logically think about these things, you know, and make your decision. And if your decision is to walk away, for me, that one is a fair one. You leave that one. It's okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I've skipped a couple just to get to the last one. And I guess this one goes back to what both of you have already mentioned, which is that the church feels, well, again, this is the reason, that the church feels unfriendly to those who doubt. And it says that young adults with Christian experiences say the church is not a place that allows them to express doubts. They do not feel admitting that sometimes Christianity does not make sense. In addition, many feel that the church response to doubt is trivial. Pretty much. So, again, I think it's something that you both alluded to earlier, which is, I guess, the environment of what said religion in this context. We're talking about Christianity. By saying that they feel like the environment, the church, the place that they're in doesn't respond well to doubts or to uncertainty or to inquisitive minds, the way Fatsani put it. Which, again, I can understand why that would be a turnoff for people, especially people who are very curious, who want to question everything, who want to analyze everything. And sometimes it's not to say I want to question it because I want to prove you wrong, but I want to pull something apart to see if it fits. Because if it fits, then great. At least I know how it fits and now I can defend it. But if it doesn't fit, then I'll be like, yo, this thing doesn't fit, you know, wagwan. But then if the church turns around and say, no, you can't ask that question, you'll be like, well, you know. But I guess one of the resounding things also that came up was that a lot of people felt like religion is a way of controlling people. What do you have to say about that?
Well, the law is a way of controlling people. In every society, you're gonna need a way of keeping people in line. Because imagine if one day we said, everybody do as you please, no consequences. There are some really dangerous people out there being held back by the constraints of the law, the common written law. So if bringing order to society is called controlling people, then by all means, I'll have that. Obviously, that's not me being naive to extremism, which I don't know if I want to put it in the same bracket as religion. Because I think once you've crossed that threshold into extremism, you no longer understand the religion.
Well, I feel like extremism is from an outsider's point of view, isn't it? From the person who we call an extremist, are just devoted. They're actually living out the word of God or the word of whoever it is they believe.
Extremism in its negative context. So yes, fine, you can have an extremist in a positive context because they just
I was just saying that term extremism is what we term people that we feel are extremists. Them, whether good or bad, they're doing whatever they're doing because of what they believe.
I'm not going to use the word extremist then. I'll just explain it. So people who take the word out of context and use it for what it's not meant for. So for example, people who take the Quran, for example, and use it for terrorism.
Well, it's funny actually, because that's gonna start a whole different discussion. But
I'll use a different example.
Technically, no.
Do some examples in, and the point is no hard. What is your problem?
I get the point you're making.
Let the girl use her examples.
You carry on with the point you're making. I get the point you're making.
You're gonna rip it apart.
It's
okay.
No.
It's not.
Everything I was saying was adding to the point. Yeah. I wasn't taking anything away. I was just glazing the point.
You're really not glazing.
I was glazing the point.
You're stamping on it.
No, he was seasoning it.
Yeah, I was seasoning the point.
With what? Acid?
Okay. Carry on.
Fine. So people who take the word, whether it be the Quran, the Bible, the Torah, and use the words in the way that they're not meant to be used, usually for their own personal gain. I don't even remember what my point was at this point.
Let me jump in then.
No, you're differentiating proper Christians to extremists. So that was a side note.
It was a side note.
Brought the extremists in as a side note. Mm. You're just saying that I'm differentiating Christianity from extremists because you're talking about religion controlling people.
Mm.
Okay, so yeah, I've lost it.
I wanted to add to say that, you know, that's a fair point. I've been thinking about this quite a lot as well, because I've heard of that before about religion is just controlling people. Some people even question the origin of the Bible, you know, so on and so forth. But again, in myself, when I sit and think about it, the idea of God is too complex, in my opinion, for a man to have created it, invented it for the sake of creating or controlling people.
Yeah.
Religion, on the other hand, yes, religious institutes can have certain practices in place for the purpose of controlling the people and so on and so forth. Yeah, I do agree with that fact. However, what I have to say on the matter is to say that, again, with a level-headed mind, you know, with enough maturity, you know, and you got to realize that's why the Bible speaks to mature people. This is not about taking babes and forcing them to do things. You know what I mean? This is about the Bible. That's why there's a reason why the Bible speaks to men, you know. So with a clear logical mind, you know, I would say everyone has to decide for themselves, you know. And there are certain things that you have to decide on. For example, like I said, you know, religion aside, you got to decide, in your opinion, how did the world come to be? You know, what's your purpose in life? You know, what is your reason for existence? What is after this? Is there after death? And so on and so forth.
Mm.
So these kind of questions should lead you to the truth, basically, of whether religion is just about controlling people, or actually, you know, there's a higher power at play, or actually God is real. You know, and for me, it's just a matter of decision, a decision to be made. You can decide, yeah, this is a tool for controlling people. Leave it aside. Fair enough. If you've done your due diligence and that's your conclusion, fair enough. But I would say, you know, religion aside, I would say God is not a tool that was created to control people. You know, I would say God, in my opinion, is real.
Okay, donkey. All right. Look, it's too big of a question to tackle within an hour and a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we've scratched a little bit. Go through several reasons as to why a lot of young people are leaving the church based on a recent study that was conducted.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it would be interesting to see what people think about whether religion is relevant in 2023 or in modern society. And I said there's a lot of things I would want to discuss and talk about that I guess maybe we'll have to see if we can do so another time. But in wrapping up then, before we go to the Google News, I guess I want to ask, do you guys know what the fastest growing religion is in the world right now?
Islam. Sorry, not Muslim. Islam.
That's what Muslim is.
I'd say Hinduism.
Ooh. Hinduism. Okay, Hinduism, Islam.
Or Buddhism. There's a lot of...
Why?
Why Buddhism?
Because a lot of people say namaste on the streets these days.
Why those two?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a gravitation towards practices of those religions, like yoga and meditating.
In saying namaste.
Fair enough. Well, it is Islam. Pronik is correct. Islam is the fastest growing religion. However, it's a bit of a toss up as to whether a lot of people are converting to Islam or they're just having a lot more kids, and they're raising them up. Islam, obviously, if you have six children versus a Christian who has two children. Naturally, there's
not
more,
even that. If you have four Islam wives, then, and those four wives have got six children each.
So there is, because they said they do convert a lot of people, but apparently they lose quite a lot of people as well. Mm. But overall, Islam is growing at a much faster rate than Christianity, and yeah, a lot of it is because they are still replenishing the earth, whereas Christianity has sort of Christianity has sort of westernized a little bit, and we're stopping at one, two children. While they're busy having 9, 10 children. Of course, they're going to take over. What can we do? But yes, yeah, Islam is the fastest growing religion to date. It's an interesting religion, Islam. We should talk about it one day. we'll have to get a Muslim. That's why I know why Muslim and Islam are two different terms.
Muslim is a person and Islam is the religion.
It's like a Christian and Christianity.
Mm. Oh, how come it's not Islam and
Islamity?
No, but there's Islamic.
Islamic state.
Islamic is, so Islamic would be like Christianity. So why is there Muslim?
Because like the same way there's a Christian, you have a Muslim. The same way there's Christianity, you have Islam.
No, Islamic. Oh yeah, Islam. But then if you're gonna describe an Islamic state, you'd say Islamic state. You didn't say Islam state. You didn't say Muslim state. You say Islamic state.
Okay.
It's just language.
I have no idea what I'm saying, by the way. It just sounds good.
I know. But I couldn't think of a different way to term it. So I was just like, all right, fine.
One of them ones, you shoot in the dark many times, you're going to hit eventually.
I was just like, okay, fine. It is what it is. All right, ladies and gents, listen, let us know what you think. Is religion still relevant today in 2023? We'd love to know your thoughts. Leave them below or send them to us, DM us on whatever platform you use. But before we leave, Prone, hit us with some good news.
Good news.
Okay, can you?
Okay, so today's good news, or this week's good news rather, it's actually a love story. So again, it ties in with a conversation that we had so many episodes ago about, you know, dating and life and whatnot, meeting partners, so on and so forth. So it's a story. The title is "A Slice of Pizza and Facebook Create a Heartwarming Philly Love Story." Right? What? A slice of pizza. And Facebook create a heartwarming Philly love story.
Okay. Fine.
So the story goes like this. Basically, this girl went to watch whatever sports team that is.
Football. American football.
Lincoln Financial Field on a Sunday when Eagles secured a 3-0 victory against the Washington Commanders. So Eagles were playing the Washington Commanders, whatever. Okay. So there was a guy who was standing in the stands eating a slice of pizza,
mm-hmm.
and a girl saw him eating that pizza. And, you know, in the heat of the moment, you know, everyone is having a good time. She went to him, "Oh, can I please have a bite of your pizza?" And he let her have a bite of the pizza. So she shared that pizza. You know, she admitted herself that she was a little bit drunk, you know. So everything ended and they went away. And then, you know, the next day, whatever, she went on Facebook and basically wrote a message, said that some guy shared pizza with me. She had a photo, found a photo of him, I think, but he was like facing at the front or something like that.
Mm.
So she posted the photo and wrote on the message, "Some guy shared a pizza. I would like to thank him. Does anyone know him?" You know, and what I like is, like, you know, people are like, and then the internet did what the internet does.
Mm.
And before you know it, someone told the guy that, "Oh, she's looking for you." So he was like, "She's looking for me." So he went on Facebook and found that actually she was looking for him. So she messaged him. He was like, "Oh, I heard you're looking for me." And then she responded saying that, "I was looking for you. Awesome." She was like, "Awesome. I owe you a date if you're up for it." And then he was like, "Of course I am. Actually, it has been a dream of mine to meet my wife drunk leaving a game," is what they said. It was a dream mm-hmm. of his, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they laughed about it and then they met. And yeah, what they've done is actually they created an Instagram page, which I actually checked, and it's actually an actual Instagram page mm-hmm. of their love so that people can follow their love. At the time of the article, it had 2,000 followers. I checked this morning. It's now got 8,916 followers, and the title of the page is "How I Met Your Father." 215 Eagles should have been, but it's just 215. So I checked the page, and it's actually them. You know, just like talk about meeting.
Wait, so they're married now?
No. They've just started dating. This happened recently. Oh, the article was. Like what the article?
So the Instagram page is "How I Met Your Father."
Yeah, she opened the page saying "This How I Met Your Father 215." I don't know what the 215 is for. I think it says 215 Eagles edition. So the article is dated October 5th, 2023. I don't know if there was another date here, but it's quite recent, and the page seems quite recent as well. It actually says new.
Oh, I mean, if they're still growing that quickly, then I'm guessing that they are. It is quite recent.
Yeah. So it was just a really, really nice story. Now, you know, people are like obviously following them on the page to follow their love story, that kind of thing. I'm just thinking, imagine they actually end up getting married. This is like a real life of How I Met Your Mother.
Well, I mean, they have to now. They've got a whole Instagram page and they've got 8,000 followers.
You can close how do you know?
How are you going to update now? Yeah, now we're no longer together. But thanks, everybody.
Well, she'll be like, well, she'll change it, rebrand it.
How I
Met Your Stepfather.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so I thought that was good news. Internet doing what the internet does when it's useful.
To be fair, it is always nice when you need to hear those kind of stories where someone or somewhere has an issue or trying to find